from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Now, tonight, due to several different scenarios and situations, it's going to be a little bit of a different show tonight. There's only two of us down here tonight, which we've done that before, but typically it's when Fred was doing one of his assorted beach trips that he is wont to do from time to time. Tonight, we do not have Mr. Electricity. We do not have the tuna for a couple of different reasons. We hope, first of all, Jody feels better, and secondarily, we know Tuna had a family issue that precluded him from being here tonight, so we hope that that all works out okay. But the real reason why everything here in Louisville is kind of a mess right now is that we had, you know, what, about 10 inches of snow come down on, was that Sunday
yes.
that this all happened?
Yes.
So on Sunday here, now keep
huge
in mind, I've lived in Louisville since 2001, and this was the single biggest snow that we've had here in town since I've lived here. It's the most since 1998, I saw.
Okay. Not storm of the century.
Yeah. And so things are, school's been canceled all week. I know that's added a lot of either, now, for the first, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Fred, because for the first couple of days, it's awesome. It's almost like when you're a little kid. It's so much fun to have a snow days these first couple of days. You get out with your kids. Nobody's working. The roads are shut down. Restaurants are closed. Bars are closed. Everything. After about 2 days, I've had enough of it. And I've officially had enough of it now.
Yeah, you're like, this is not, where's the sun? It's not melting.
Yeah.
And a shovel is not going to work anymore. Not even your splash of salt. I mean, it's like snow, ice, snow. And now it's getting ready to be, what, 5 degrees?
Yeah, and then they're calling for 2 to 4 inches of snow again on Friday.
Right.
Which will completely, I mean, this city is already in semi-gridlock, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
We get 3 more inches of snow on Friday on top of what we already have. They may just shut the whole place down.
The Bill's cheese and the rainbow bread is gone off the shelves.
Well, let me tell you something funny about that. Of course, I knew that this storm was coming. They had been talking about it. Now, I don't think anybody knew that it was going to be 10 and a half inches of
right.
snow like we ended up getting.
It happened fast.
But I went to the grocery on Saturday before the initial blast, and I got the last carton of milk.
Always a commodity.
The last loaf of bread that wasn't like gluten-free, 7-grain, farm to table. I just wanted a loaf of bread to make some freaking toast.
Right, you want some rainbow.
You know, I got the last loaf of bread. So then I finally get everything dug out, got the cars dug out, got the driveway dug out. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I got the last carton of milk again. And the last carton of eggs that wasn't like 24 Kroger brand eggs that they probably raise in coops behind the store.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I'm an egg snob. I'll be the first person to admit it in my life. I'm an egg snob. I have not had a non like pasture raised organic, you know, like, look on the side of the thing. It'll tell you which farm, what the name of the chicken was that laid these eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm slumming with Eggland's Best up there right now.
I mean, I love it. Dude, at least you got them to the car safely.
I did.
You got
I did, but Jesus, man. I mean, it really has been quite something, and we're not out of it yet. School's here. are closed tomorrow. I'm sure they'll end up being closed on Friday.
I've been shredding the hills a little bit.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you, I know that let me just start with this. I've known Fred for a long, long time, way before any kids were involved. And Fred has been a sledding psycho since I can, like, he was probably, now that I think about it, you know, from the time I was, I don't know, 23 until I moved here, when I was 28 or 29, however old I was, I didn't really sled. You know, I thought that was still something for little kids.
Right.
Until I got here and got to know Fred, and, you know, we were all hanging out and everything. And I remember we had the first big, you know, big snow, quote unquote. And Fred was like, "We're going to Dog Hill." I'm like, "What the hell is Dog Hill?"
Oh, yeah.
And, man, we went up there. We went at, I want to say.
You've probably been there late night when everybody's got a fire going and a bunch of 12-packs.
I want to say we were.
Carnage of sleds.
We were there at night. It was dark.
It's a great spot for the kids during the day, though.
Yes.
Of course.
It was dangerous and dark.
Yeah.
And I've never had, and everybody I think that was there had, shall we say, maybe some artificial warming agents coursing through their bloodstream.
Somebody lost their keys at the bottom of the hill.
And then I knew what the sledding mentality was in this town. And Fred, some 20 years later, is still a sledding psycho.
Yes, and that is, go there, get up there, you park, you got all your gear, wax the sled up. I highly recommend having wax.
And
a plastic sled. Now, I don't sled with the American Fly or anything. I think those are dangerous, and I try to tell my son to watch out for those walking up the hill. Some people don't know how to use them, but
you
plastic
mentioned,
sleds.
You mentioned the waxing of the sled today. I'm curious, what did that entail?
That as you and I know, as old school skiers and snowboarders, having done our thing out west and everything, and you used to tune skis at Galleon's in the ski shop, head of the ski shop. There's different colors, wax, different kinds, types. This was just regular wax, and I just rubbed it on there cold turkey.
And
no heating, no irons.
And let me ask you, did this waxing of the sled offer you more speed and slickness?
I broke my record today, and we only went down two runs. We did it real fast. We were going through the neighborhood, and Clayton busted his lip, and he got into the Shredder's Club by having a little blood on the mountain. Hit it on a little. He just banged his lip down a little bit. But the plastic sleds, you have to have just the regular rectangular. You go in face first, belly down, and you just take off. You guide with your hands on each side. Don't drag your feet. You need maximum speed, and bam, I'm telling you. The walk up is exercise for me in the wintertime. It's huge. That's when I get my exercise.
Well, yeah.
Walking up the hill a few times, or more than a few. And it's just fantastic. I love going and sledding. The kids love it. And at one point, there was 25 people there, kids and families. And before we left, there was about 100.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
When it gets dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people had skis that were bolted down with wood.
Yeah, you told me about that earlier.
Get out of the way. Like,
if you are listening to this show and you are going to Cherokee Park and have attached a piece of plywood on top of two 1978 Skinny Fisher skis, please refrain.
With a rope.
Yeah, please refrain from doing that ever again.
Oh, dude.
Someone is going to get killed.
Yeah, the dumpster lid. Okay, that's fine. You want to go down on a dumpster lid, go down. If you want to go down on you know, your mom's sewing machine case, whatever you want to use. But don't, the metal and all the pointed objects, no, I'm not a fan of those.
Yeah. And so we hope that the city is relatively open by beginning of next week. We'll see what happens. Theoretically, my basketball team, Collegiate, has a game tomorrow night, which coming off of basically 3 weeks of no practice because of the holiday break, is not an ideal situation.
Right.
But we shall see how that plays out tomorrow.
The tuna would be proud of me. I'm obviously sitting at his round table.
Well, I was just about to get to that.
I got his coverall. I'm actually wearing Carhartt coveralls. That's how bad it is out there, man. he would be proud of that.
This is the first time, I think, this is the first time that you and I have done the show just by ourselves.
Right.
And I believe, well, and then clearly, Freddie has slid, as much as Mr. Electricity does or has done in the past when Tuna has not been able to be here. Freddie has slid into the high top table over my right shoulder.
Bam.
And he was.
Smells over here like Sloppy Joe or something. I can't put my finger on it.
Tuna helper?
It could be tuna. It could have a little tuna stench over here.
And, of course, you were also commenting on the fact that he gets some really good headphones.
Oh, dude, these things are the bomb. I mean, I feel like I'm like Rick Mears' chief pit crew guy over here. Thank you, Tuna. I now know that you're, I mean, look at this walnut table or mahogany.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only the finest furniture down here in the.
I know. It kind of, you know what it really smells like? Cheap Kansas City barbecue.
Well, speaking of cheap Kansas City barbecue, no, I'm not sure. I'm sure there is some cheap Kansas City barbecue. I'm not sure that's what they're necessarily known for, but we are ramping
for kicking teams out of the playoffs.
Let's talk about that,
sandbagging.
Let's talk about that. We are gearing up for the NFL playoffs. We have had some people reach out to us and say, you haven't talked about the NFL enough. You've been hammering college football and the Mayo Bowl and the Pop-Tart Bowl, and we want to hear you guys talk about the NFL. Now, unfortunately, our NFL, I won't call him the expert. I will say that.
You say guru?
His team tends to win more than all of ours basically put together. That's the tuna. He's not here tonight, but the NFL playoffs start this weekend. I'm fired up about it.
Oh, man.
But before we get to that, I did want to ask you, because we were goofing back and forth on our text thread during the Denver-Kansas City game, which the Bengals needed Kansas City to win that game to get into the playoffs. Of course, if you follow the NFL, you know that that did not happen. It did not happen in a very, shall we say, a very, what's the word I'm looking for? The game was never in doubt, is what I'm trying to get to.
Bo Nix looked like the second coming of John Elway.
Yeah. how did you feel going into that game? Did you think that Kansas City might play well and it was going to be a tight game, or did you think, well, they have nothing to play for. They're going to lay down and.
Well, I feel like if they wanted to now they've won a lot of tight games this season. You know what I mean?
They always do.
Yeah, and giving all due credit to Kansas City, the refs have popped in there and helped them a little bit, I think. But hey, they're defending champs, and until they go down, they're still defending champs. However, You can really kill the mojo by having a loss like that. I mean, matter of fact, it was a blowout, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was 34 nothing.
Were they even there? Was Mahomes there? Or were they like down in the...
I mean, he might have been
in the lounge.
He might have been in the lounge.
Didn't have to stand out there in uniform on the sidelines.
Was not going to play, and no. Neither were most of.
I'm making sure they weren't getting muffins in the concession. I'm sure they're way more high rollers than that. But no, dude, I'm telling you, the Bengals laid they set up their three losses at the beginning of the year, and now it's their bed they got to lay in it.
That's right. Look, my whole mentality.
For like the third season in a row.
Sure. You cannot lose those games early in the year and expect. Like, I remember when Peyton Manning was with the Colts, and the Colts were always very good. And it was always going to boil down to them and the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of years I remember early in the season, the Colts lost a game that I thought, that's, and guess what? It ended up forcing the Colts to go to Foxborough.
Right.
To play.
Oh, play in the cold.
To play in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Outside. In the cold, and it never worked out well for the Colts. Then
those games were always fun to watch,
but
man.
Then, funny enough, the year that Peyton won the Super Bowl with the Colts, they had home field advantage throughout the playoffs and beat the Patriots.
And it showed.
At the Hoosier Dome.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's why the NFL season is a grind, and we've talked about it on this show ad nauseum, that every team in the NFL has good players. You can't just, it's not like you're playing, Alabama is playing Southwest Missouri State or something on a given week. The other team has professional football players. And if you're not ready to play week 1 through 4, it might cost you in week 17 and 18.
Especially if you're a team that's got that high potent offense with all, with all these weapons, and you're like, but it's so weird. And I don't want to we've already talked about it because I want to get into the teams that really are legit. But, they had all kinds of weird issues with the front office. Chase wasn't signed. They got rid of Mixon. And they didn't know that they did get your Buffalo running back there and then finally found Chase Brown, and he got a little bit more healthy. But they finally found out that he was a diamond in the rough till he got hurt again. But Higgins was injured. It didn't seem – I remember telling y'all at the beginning of the year, I said the Bengals are not going to have a good season this year. I do not feel it.
You said they weren't going to make the playoffs.
And by God, they did have a good season. They just – started bad again, and you could tell the writing was on the wall at the beginning. But anyways, they didn't deserve it. They're gone.
And can I just quickly, while we're talking about our teams and our disappointing teams, just very quickly, I'm not going to belabor the point, but I know some of our listeners up in Indiana that are Colts fans would like me to at least comment on the end of the Colts season, which, first and foremost, ended in the most hilarious way you could possibly imagine. Playing the dreadful Jaguars with a coach who got fired the next day, with a backup quarterback in front of, 25,000 mostly disinterested fans.
Yeah, they're a team that's win. They will fight, at least, Jacksonville.
But
no, keep going.
Obviously,
keep going.
They were going nowhere. The
this.
Colts were going nowhere.
Right.
They were eliminated. And then the game goes to overtime, which was hilarious. I was rooting, when it went to overtime, I was rooting for a tie. I thought that would be the all-time greatest end to a horrible season. But I think most Colts fans kind of assumed that after whatever it's been, 8 or 9 years, that Chris Ballard, the general manager, and the defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, were both going to be fired, and that did not happen. They did fire Gus Bradley, but Chris Ballard's coming back, to me, inexplicably for another year. Shane Steichen, who I still think is a pretty good coach, is coming back for another year. It'll be interesting to see, because I do think that the kind of the mentality of the Colts fan has been stretched to its absolute limits. They're done. They don't believe in the process or in the vision,
right,
or anything. Anthony Richardson shows flashes of being like, could be a very good football player. But then when he actually gets out and plays 3, 4, 5 games in a row, which very rarely happens, he has the worst completion rate in the entire NFL for starting quarterback. They've just got a long way to go. And
they're a mediocre NFL team.
Yeah. And the thing about that, Fred, is at least if they were awful, you could say, well, they're going to have a really good draft pick, like a chance to really build in the draft. But when you finish like just outside of the playoffs, like the Colts have the last few years, there's not even any hope. And even if there was hope from a draft standpoint, I don't think very many Colts fans trust the current regime to draft worth a damn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but that's about all I'll have to say about
sounds
that.
Sounds like the Reds.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that, when the weather gets a little bit warmer, but we are geared up for the NFL playoffs this weekend. Freddie, tell me what game you are looking forward to the most.
Now, I'm trying to look on here to see which games are Saturday night. But, man, some of these matchups, dude. The Bills.
You have the Chargers and the Texans at 4:30 on Saturday. And then the nightcap, an AFC North slobber knocker. You have the Steelers
and
the Ravens.
Dude, and that's what I was going to get into the Ravens Steelers, but let's do this Texans Chargers game. I mean, we're not going to get detailed here because we want the Tuna's analysis.
Yes.
On some of this. But I feel like the Texans are just kind of there. They're not spectacular. They're not bad. They did finish with a win, and I feel like that they are I don't know. They have a good receiver, good running back, a good defense, not a great defense. Stroud has seemed to have fallen off a little bit with no Tank Dale, but you've got the other guys. The Chargers seem to be, in my opinion, I just see the Chargers seem to be moving in the right direction a little bit faster than the Texans right now.
Well, I mean,
They just seem to be more hungry, and
I just think they're better.
Yeah, they're better.
I just think they're better. Now, that does not mean that the game is in Houston, which is always difficult, but, I mean, not that this has a lot to do with what's going to happen this weekend, but I remember a few years ago, the Colts went in there as an underdog in the first game of the playoffs and beat them.
Right.
So I don't think that that's a huge deal. I think Harbaugh is going to have those guys ready, and I think the Chargers win that game. And I don't, from a NFL standpoint, I don't think it'll be particularly close.
Right. I think their defense will show up there. And I think they're kind of an underrated defense.
I agree.
And then you got Ravens Steelers, just to set that up a little bit. I mean, Lamar Jackson, come on, dude. I mean, he's just unreal, the numbers he's putting up. And I'm obviously from Louisville pulling for him. That is who I am pulling for.
And I think it's probably, well, we know it's going to be cold in Baltimore. I think it's going to be snowing.
Right.
So it's going to make
Lamar Jackson ain't scared of the snow. Well, no. I already know that. He is a gamer no matter what.
And it's going to make for amazing television.
Right.
I hope it is snowing sideways.
Right, exactly. And the Steelers seem to be, dude, they have no identity. They've lost their identity. They have no, they don't run the ball enough. They have no pattern of how they switch off between the two running backs. You know what I mean? It just seems like Russell Wilson is lost out there. Kudos to their defense and their defensive line that can snag the quarterback at any time. But right now, their offense is dead in the water.
I think it's a hell of a testament to Tomlin that they're even in this position, because early this season, I honestly thought that the Steelers and the Colts were about the same outfit.
That's a typical Tomlin job.
Yeah.
Obviously, the offense has all of a sudden sputtered out. I'm surprised that they haven't even tried to put in the backup. I'm like, man, you know, he can run on his feet. He can make it happen. I don't know. I just think the Steelers are kind of going in the wrong direction.
I agree.
Not as much as the Texans.
I agree.
But the Ravens are a much better team, and I see the Ravens winning by 17.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Steelers are on a relatively decent losing streak, right?
Yeah. What's our next game? What do we got? And because we're just going to hit on these, and then we'll get into...
And before we do that, we are going to take a really quick break.
Oh.
We will be right back. And we are back. We left off right at the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. That leads us into Sunday. There are three games on Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock. Denver at Buffalo. I think most people would probably just say that Buffalo is going to win that game.
I say at Buffalo, Denver is used to playing in the cold, and I know they played the Chiefs with no starters, but they are moving up.
They are playing well.
They're playing well. That Bo Nix is
he's going to be very good.
And they've got
he's already very,
very good. Very, very underrated defense.
Yep.
With a shutdown, lockdown corner who's healthy again. I saw a stat during that game that showed that they were they're top defense in a few categories in the NFL. And so I'm just saying, I get it. Gosh, man, Buffalo, I think that is a tough break for Buffalo. I wouldn't want to play Denver right now, but I do think Buffalo wins. We'll go on through.
So then at 4:30, we have the Green Bay Packers traveling to Philadelphia.
Man.
Philly at a 4.5-point favorite.
Two injured teams.
And I cannot pick a team that lost to the Chicago Bears last week to win a playoff game.
I know.
So I'm all in on the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think
and Jordan Love is playing, and Christian Watson's out.
He's out.
The Packers seem to be going downhill a little bit. Even though I do think that they are warriors, they remind me of the Texans, where they can fight in a fourth quarter and win a game. Jordan Love has proved it. So has CJ Stroud. But anyways, I don't know. I think I agree with you on that one.
And then the nightcap on NBC Sunday Night Football, Washington Commanders this is the most interesting game of the whole weekend.
Two of my favorite quarterbacks.
Washington Commanders at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 3-point favorite in this ball game.
What's the over on that?
50. 50. So I am very much – well, I'm looking forward to all these
Excuse
games,
me.
But
– Tuna, dang it.
But that game really, obviously the weather's not going to be a factor. It's going to be 65 degrees. Shouldn't be any rain or anything.
I mean, these quarterbacks are going to be so fun to watch in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, two average defenses, some Hall of Famers on wide receiver for the Buccaneers, great tight ends, great running backs, Bucky. Dude, I'm telling you, that this game is going to be fun. McLaurin has to have a great game.
Yeah.
I feel like the Buccaneers have been there. They have too much firepower. I like them to get through here like they did last year against a different team.
Yeah, I'm gonna reserve judgment on that one. I don't think I can make up my mind on that one yet because I really do, for whatever reason, I want Baker Mayfield to make a little run in these playoffs.
Isn't it funny how everybody kind of. Baker for a while. Now everybody kind of pulls for
I've
him.
I've always liked him.
I always
thought he was cool. I thought, you know, coming from a walk-on in college to get to the point where he was, and he's kind of reinvented himself.
Yeah.
Because you're exactly right, Fred. There was a lot of people that thought he was like Johnny Manziel, like a total bust.
Right, and he got on the commercials quick because he's a kind of a flamboyant guy. He's a guy's guy. Dude, everybody respects him because he freaking fights.
Yes.
He's like a warrior. I don't care if you mean it or you don't. Yes. At least he shows it.
That's right.
And guys and people that watch football like a guy that is playing hard and it just seems to matter more for him.
Yep.
And I mean, who don't want to pull for a guy that's limited physically? But he's going to try to get it done no matter what. I'm on that guy's side, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think most people that even follow the NFL, even casually, if you know who Baker Mayfield is and you know his story, it's hard to not root for him. But it's also, to me, hard to root against the Commanders, being in that they play in the same city as my beloved DC Defenders.
Oh man, it's been a long year. When's that season start?
That's a great question.
Where are my Battle Hawks at?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I don't even know if the league still exists.
We need to get into that and find out. I'm going to wear my jersey at Kroger and see if somebody sees me and goes, "Hey man, we got a big game coming up."
But as Freddie said, we will definitely do a deeper dive into the NFL playoffs.
Is there one more game?
No, that's it.
Oh, Rams-Vikings? Is that?
Oh, that might be Monday night.
Yeah.
Is that Monday night?
Yeah, I think it is. And obviously Chiefs lines are on a bye.
Yes.
And But I
forgot about that.
Rams Vikings, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Monday night. Duh. Which, you know, like the crazy thing about the way the NFL playoffs work, and I'm sure if you listen to this show, then you already know, it doesn't matter what your record is necessarily. You have to win your division to host a playoff game or potentially get a bye or whatever.
Right.
So Minnesota at 14-3 is rolling in to LA, who's 10-7, and the Vikings are a 1-point favorite on Monday Night Football, which is always fun.
Right.
Having
a
playoff game on a Monday night. But that'll be very, very interesting. It was interesting to me that the Rams, even though they had something technically to play for, it depended if they won or lost who they were going to match up with. They rested all their starters last week and got beat.
Yeah.
By the Seahawks.
Right, got beat by the Seahawks. And Vikings, you know, they got smashed in the mouth.
But, man, I'm telling you, if you watched that game, and I'm not speaking of you particular, I'm talking the general you. If people watched that game, it was apparent to me from the opening kickoff that you could have brought in Vince Lombardi's Packers into that building that night and they were not going to win.
Right. I get it.
It just, it was not, it was one of those nights.
That's why I bet it.
It was not going to happen.
Right, right.
And
yeah, they had the black the black helmets or the black lion on the
helmets.
I mean,
just the whole excitement.
Dude, there's just something about
it.
I mean, dude, if you're not kind of pulling for the Lions to win a Super Bowl, you're un-American. I mean, dude, it's Detroit. It's the Detroit Lions. Like, if any city needs a boost, it's Detroit.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It really is.
And the Lions have done a lot for that city.
And a town that's done a lot for the, you know, for the whole country.
Of course.
Like, I mean, we owe a lot to Detroit. It's the, what, the car capital?
That's right.
Of the world. Yeah, so Detroit and the Chiefs.
I mean,
they're the two teams.
If you have anything to say about the Chiefs, Fred,
right now
is probably your time to shine.
No, I got it. The best thing going for the Chiefs is that documentary that they have out on that lunatic that pulls for them.
Chiefsaholic.
They're trying to be the defending champs. I feel like they killed their mojo against the Bengals, like I said. And I just don't think – I think it's too many times they've had to continue to win. Now, they're going to have a couple big – they may have one big win. But I have a feeling that they're going to start – they start slow. They start really slow. And I just don't think this is their year. It's hard to defend a championship, man. In the NFL, are you kidding me? Like,
I just don't see anybody going into Arrowhead and beating them.
Right. I see.
I just don't. Now, I'm not saying they won't lose the Super Bowl. It is going to take, and not to say that it can't happen.
I agree with that part of it.
But in my mind, with that coach and that quarterback, I just have a difficult time believing that anybody is going to beat them in Arrowhead in a playoff game.
Right. And I'm kind of joking around at the same time that I'm talking about them with the tuna. He knows I respect the Chiefs. I had four of them on my fantasy team. No, but he does know that the Chiefs are the defending champs. You have to respect that to them. So, hey, looking forward to some NFL football. We never do get into that, have enough time for that, so I'm glad we got that in. And I guess on to college.
Before we get into the college football, and I wanted to make sure to touch on this because – we were a little bit rushed at the end of last week's show, and we just briefly discussed the passing of Greg Gumbel, who has been, I mean, to those of us that are around our age, and I assume most people that listen to this show are roughly around our age, Greg Gumbel has been ubiquitous calling NFL, Super Bowls, but to me, when I think of Greg Gumbel, he has been the face and the voice of Selection Sunday.
Oh, man.
Like, around here, basically a national holiday. And when you saw Greg Gumbel pop up on the screen after the Big Ten Championship game on Sunday afternoon, you knew it was about to get real. And the way that, I mean, he's one of those guys. When you saw his face or heard his voice, you knew that it was the biggest thing going.
Right, right, exactly. And, yeah, he's a pioneer of many sorts, but really of the Final Four and the road to the Final
Four.
Right.
And and
dude, you have his voice on there, and it's like, even Tuna was like, man, the and the Final Four, you can get every bracket done. that quick, and we had to wait on college football for all the bowl games. And the funny thing is part of that's because of Greg Gumbel.
Yeah.
And when they get on there, he's like, how's everybody doing? Boom, the SEC championship or whatever game that is over.
It's always Big Ten.
Whatever. Big Ten. Yeah. Big Ten game is over. SEC's at 1 o'clock. Big Ten's later. And he just slides right into it.
Yep.
And you're just like, your adrenaline's going. And that's what everyone should remember him of.
Yeah, and I mean, something else that a lot of people don't really talk about is I'm not sure in the history of sports broadcasting that there have ever been a pair of brothers like Greg and Brian Gumbel that have had as much of an impact on broadcasting in sports as those two have. Now, Greg...
That's a great point.
You know, I've very rarely heard people even talk about Bryant Gumbel, and I know he's, like, semi-retired, or he is retired now, or whatever, but Bryant Gumbel was a huge part of NBC Sports in the 80s, when they still had the NCAA tournament on NBC.
Yeah.
And then his show, Real Sports, on HBO,
right.
To me, especially like the first 5-6 years it was on, was when he had Frank DeFord,
right.
Mary
right.
Carrillo.
Well, heck, he was on Good Morning America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Good Morning America.
Oh, what was it?
The Today Show.
The Today Show. Yeah. Okay, right.
He was NBC.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, those guys, and I think another thing that it didn't get to me because I had realized this a couple years ago, but when I mentioned to my dad, I told him, you know, like, Greg Gumbel passed away. He was like, well, he couldn't have been that old. I said, Dad, he was a lot older than you think he was. I mean, he was, what, close to 80, maybe 78?
Wow.
Years old?
I don't know, but he was, I'm picturing his face right now, and he seems young.
Well,
he seemed young.
Yeah, well, I know. I remember, like, 10 years ago, seeing that he was around 70 years old and going,
right,
that seems insane
to
me.
He just had that kind delivery voice. You know, a lot of those guys have it. James Brown.
And he never really changed the
NFL.
Way he looked either.
Right.
Like, he looked the same in the early 90s as he did the last time
right.
I saw him on
they
television.
They just have those voices that make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Mike Tirico has that voice.
Yep.
Like,
absolutely.
You know, Jim Nantz.
I was just about to say,
voice.
I know Tuna won't like it.
Well, he's already carved Jim Nantz in his seat here. I can see where he's had like a butter knife or something, and he's carved it in.
He's got a butter knife to spread that butter on his burnt toast.
Yes.
But
on his burnt fantasy toast.
But I definitely wanted to just spend a couple minutes talking about Greg Gumbel because I felt like we got rushed
right.
A little bit at the end of the last
show. Sports-wise, you have to talk about that, especially with what we do.
That's
you know?
Right. And so, again, as I said last week, he will be incredibly missed, especially for obviously not from a friends and family standpoint. Of course, you're going to miss anybody.
Yeah, the field of 64.
But for people that love sports and especially love March Madness, Greg Gumbel will be incredibly missed. And the selection show,
I'm sure they'll have something.
Oh, they're
for sure.
They definitely will.
Yeah.
But the selection show will not be the same without Greg Gumbel. And so RIP, Mr. Gumbel. Glad we got that in. Now we can move on to the college football playoff. We had discussed last week, I know, different games that we were all looking forward to and what we thought might happen. Quickly, we'll get into the Penn State-Boise State game.
No Bluefield, remember?
Yeah, and I was very impressed with Penn State in that ball game. Boise, I really never felt like they were really even in the game.
Well, before we get, I want to say one thing.
Yeah, please.
As far as all four of these games we're going to talk about briefly, because we've got to talk about what we think's going to happen with the new ones, with the games being played tomorrow and Friday. But don't you find it amazing? And everyone's already talked about this. I know this is Monday morning quarterback, but don't you find it amazing that all the teams that were on byes lost? You know, there are patterns in this new experiment of a playoff bracket or a playoff championship, right? So I just found it interesting to hear all the different new, you know, people, Feinbaum or Stephen A. or whoever, talking about. I heard McElroy have an interesting take on how, you know, at first all the home teams won, the Blue Bloods or whatever at home in the cold or wherever, and now the teams waiting all lost.
That is true. But I also think that part of that is given the way that the playoff was seeded. Because I think all the teams that had byes were the lesser teams.
I agree.
Like, it worked out kind of the way it was supposed to if you just looked at the teams
matchup.
I
see what you're saying.
Like,
yes, yes.
Like, and I get it. All the teams that had byes did get beat. But I think those teams get beat whether they had a bye where they played the day before, the week before, or whatever. Like, I just think the other teams were better.
I still think they will reseed all that. I think they're going to look at that.
They almost have
to. Like, yeah. But, no, I totally see your point, and damn near, and I agree with you. And I was just bringing that out because I heard it all over the national media talking about it, that it was interesting how it happened. And, you know, like we said, don't forget, Travis, we talked about this last week where we were like, in the field of 64, when you have those play-in games and then you're just a team coming in that hasn't been playing well and you get in the field of 64, boom, you're gone. And the hotter team wins. Well, it kind of has shown that's happening in football.
Yep.
And I haven't really quite put my finger on, like, how do coaches handle these games with a whole week off and da da. It's all, even though you're used to being in the CFP playoff four team bracket, imagine some of these coaches that haven't been in that and experienced that,
right,
and now they're in this where they have to play this waiting game and all the hype that's talked about them and rat poison, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of amazing how we're kind of figuring it out as it goes on, and so are they.
Right.
And I don't know, man. I know that we went through, Boise State just – that they look like they what we said happened. Genty still ran the ball. He was tough as nails, but Penn State, the defense, and I think depth – overcame Boise State. They couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't catch it. And I think Penn State and Notre Dame.
And man, Penn State was physical as hell.
Right, they were, and they are. They are a team really pointing up, in my opinion. I guess we'll go to the next game, which was Notre Dame, Georgia.
Well, that wasn't the next
game. Oh, no.
That game was. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
in a
we'll
minute.
Get to that in a minute. I wanted Texas, Arizona State.
Right, which was the game of the playoff.
Right,
and perhaps was the game of the season.
Oh, dude!
Given what was on the line, and there were so many times late in that ball game. You know, it had all those ebbs and flows where Texas got way ahead, and then Arizona State gets all the momentum coming back. And then Texas makes a little run. And then Arizona State has a situation where they've scored in overtime and Texas has the ball. I think it was 4th and 13. have to get the 13 yards. And not only did they get the 13 yards, they threw a touchdown pass to win the ball game. And
It was a beautiful pass.
I have no ill will towards Sark or towards Texas, but myself and I think most of America was all rooting like hell for Arizona State.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me?
Let me tell you something. We talked about Scataboo, and not only did he live up to the hype, he exceeded.
He threw a 50-yarder.
Which was the play that got them potentially back in the ball game.
Touchdown pass, unbelievable. And, yeah, and, dude, I remember him on the sidelines at one point. Remember he threw his helmet and he just went crazy in the lady sideline reporters. He just said that this is unacceptable. No, no. Dude, he drove them, fired them up. Now, I want to say that their quarterback played fantastic.
And
Tuna's got all the great names. He knows the names of some of these guys. I can't think of what his name is. I apologize. But, man, he was – Arizona State's quarterback was fantastic. He's tough as nails. I know Hunter Green's name, but I can't remember his, dang it. They remind me of the same kind of quarterback. But him and Scatabo carried that team. Some great defensive plays. But, dude, the
Sam Levitt.
Sam Levitt, yeah. Or what? Say it again.
Sam Levitt.
Yeah, Levitt. Let's get down to business here, though. They make their comeback. They're coming down the field. There's a targeting call. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know what?
I mean, if you want Texas Nation to be in the playoff game for their for all that they think that they do for college football as far as their channel and their network and all the money and all this and everything, if you really want them in, well, you got them in. Because the targeting call was atrocious. And as you know, Travis, that would have had them right there with momentum, probably going to be a touchdown.
Oh, well, I mean, all they need to do
and
is
win the game.
All they need to do is kick the field goal.
Right, kick the field goal, run the clock down.
And
no one has talked about it, really. They did a little bit, but come on.
I thought –
the dude was knocked out. Like Tua, Tagliavoa.
And
I mean,
I also thought that, and this was, you know, me having not as many text threads as you do, Fred, but I am on a few, and every single thread that I'm on immediately asks me, that has to be targeting, right? And I said, well, yeah, I mean,
you got to have a chance to catch and turn. A glimpse.
It was, to me, what a, like, if they had it in the dictionary, a video of what targeting is, that was it. And quite frankly, when that happened, I thought, Arizona State's probably going to get beat. But then they, to their credit, they bounced back.
He got them fired up. Scatabo, I feel like. And they made this surge that was just unbelievable. You have to give the quarterback for Texas credit. He threw two of the prettiest passes that I have seen in the whole playoff. I'm telling you right now, they were beautiful. I don't know how he got the touchdown through there, but that was, it was unbelievable. Texas deserved it. They showed that they kind of wore them down. Well, I don't think we were going to see a 2-point overtime situation happen. I kind of felt like if Arizona State, once they got robbed on the call, Texas was probably going to score. On that one. And then, Travis, I think we should go to the game that was Friday night before we get to the enchilada where Tuna won his big money on. I was going to get on the Notre Dame-Georgia game. and talk about a matchup that we thought was going to happen, where they kind of evened up. You know what I'm saying? Good tackling on both teams.
Yep.
Good running the football. I thought Georgia moved the ball better than Notre Dame did, but I feel like just the mojo with Notre Dame, the depth, the running backs eventually are so athletic they can get around. You said they can even run up the middle as they can.
Yeah.
They are very physical. And I feel like that for the first time ever, Notre Dame is as physical, it showed, as Georgia was.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, Bama's played Notre Dame in a national championship. Notre Dame was, even though they had Manti Te'o and stuff, they were not physical like this team is.
Right.
This is a different kind of speed physical.
Yep.
And, I just feel like that Notre Dame, what did you think about how Georgia came out?
Well, I have one question. Did Kirk Herbstreit come out the next day on television and say that the fact that Georgia got their ass beat in the first half worse than Indiana did?
Oh!
And got their ass beat in the game worse than Indiana did?
Oh, I never thought about that.
That Georgia was not a, what did he say? There are other teams more deserving than this.
Right.
I mean, look, I think it's well known and very apparent.
You've been hiding this one on me.
Well, I mean, and as you know, Fred, I try to stay away from all that stuff.
I got you, but I see.
And I did stay away from it to the most part until it was brought to my attention that all these people were saying this stuff. What it boils down to is, there's two teams playing in all these games. There's a favorite and an underdog. And, sometimes going to the favorite's building is very difficult to win on a regular scenario. But I just found it interesting that Indiana and SMU, for that matter, were kind of pigeonholed.
Oh, they were definitely pigeonholed by the SEC Nation. They were.
And then,
I admit that I'm part of SEC Nation, and I will tell you that you are exactly right.
And then, you know,
they were pigeonholed. And then the game's going like, oh, well Georgia was waiting,
yes,
or whatever.
There's a lot of excuse making.
Right.
There.
Notre Dame came in there and whipped Georgia.
They did. And
they whipped them.
And Georgia.
But no one's ever going to talk about that. They want to talk about the beginning of, you know what I'm saying?
I totally
agree with you on the Indiana comparison
with
Georgia.
I'm being facetious to a certain extent because Georgia was more competitive for a big part of that Notre Dame game.
First half.
But when I say that, I never felt like Indiana was going to win the game against Notre Dame, and I never once felt like Georgia was going to win the game against Notre Dame. So to me, that's the exact same scenario.
And it is, and the thing that I've been saying about Notre Dame all year is they're just better. They're good. Like, yes, Louisville almost beat them this year. Yes, Louisville beat them last year. But they have improved so much since that time. It's a testament to the head coach and everyone around that team. I just feel like they have this mojo where they have been pushing kind of, and that leads us into the next game because I had a feeling that Oregon was pushing into that stratosphere of we're now here. This is us. We're going to win it. And man, here you go. Another team sitting there on a bye waiting. And I sat here. I totally eat crow sitting here in Tuna's chair, Tuna Crow, by saying that I thought Oregon was going to win. There was no way Ohio State could duplicate what that quarterback did in the last game. And before I went and took a leak outside, And came back in on the game. Jeremiah Smith had 130 yards, and I don't know, they were up 21-0. I mean, I was like, what is going on here? Buzzsaw.
Well, and listeners of this show will know that Oregon was my national championship pick. And Tuna has been telling us since before the brackets were put out, Tuna has been telling us that Ohio State was the best team in this tournament.
Right.
And I think
he felt like their offensive coaches were a little off.
I think that
no longer are they off.
Is now readily apparent to anyone that has watched these games that Ohio State is the best team.
They're in the driver's seat. They're on their mojo.
I got to tell you, the way that they bullied Oregon was shocking
to
me.
It wasn't shocking. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, Herb Street had to put a muzzle on him because he could not say. Do you remember him at one point? He goes, they are literally beating Oregon every facet of a football game that you can beat them at. And I'm talking, he literally went into it. I think he was so shocked. And he obviously, he's an Ohio State. He's not a homer, but we know that he played for Ohio State. Come on. But I respect Herb Street's opinion, of course, on anything. He's a legendary announcer.
I used to.
Okay.
I will tell you this, Fred.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
I, on purpose, maybe for the first time ever, they had all these different ways that you could watch the game, you know, if you have YouTube TV or whatever.
You purposely shut him out.
I watched Pat McAfee and his crew.
Well, I love them.
Call the game. They were standing on the field.
Right. I bet that's hysterical.
And it was a riot. And, of course, they're able to get away with a lot of things that your traditional broadcast cannot get. But
I'm going to DVR that next time.
It got
time,
to be
dude.
Like 21-0 or whatever, and they came back, and Pat McAfee goes, he said something like, Oregon Ducks are now Oregon Duck Shite. Like right on national television.
No, it was bad. Like the wide receiver and the quarterback for Oregon kind of what's his name? Tez. They kind of put it together a little bit to make it something in the third quarter, but that game was over. Jeremiah Smith is a man. The running backs are trudging on all cylinders. The defense, Caleb Downs, everybody. I mean,
hey, Fred, you know who played Ohio State closer than Oregon did this year?
Indiana Hoosiers.
You're goddamn right.
Do we dare? So we've went into the games. Now we're going to go into who we think is when we get there. Do we dare go into any of the bowl games that went on? Or maybe Tuna didn't Tuna and I have a little thing going before we go into the actual college playoff? What do you think we ought to do here? And I feel like we have a little leeway here where we can talk about it because it's just two of us, like Tuna, Jody, Whiteboard Poet Laureate. I don't know how much you're getting for your poems, pal, like money wise on the black market. But dude, you want to try to do a one-on-one here? It's not easy. And you two guys are mopping it up out in the snow right now. While we're getting some tough work done here for people in Brussels, Belgium, and England, and all over the place.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure our listeners over in Leeds are very disappointed that Mr. Electricity as
yeah, wouldn't it not, be cool?
He's only been here like once in the last 5 weeks.
It would be cool if they were still listening. I'm sure they are. I mean, I have full, I mean, we'll get in. Hey, guys, we'll get into the NBA. We're going to get into soccer. We're going to get into all that stuff. But
the NBA has to wait until after college football is
right,
over.
Exactly. And I think the sports fan understands that.
Our
listeners understand that. Do you think, what do you think we ought to roll into?
I think we ought to roll into the upcoming ball games in the college football playoff.
Can I say that I felt like Bama let down in some of these bowl games? Can I say that Alabama was a major letdown in the Reliance Bowl? I wanted to get that out real quick.
Wait a minute. Did we broadcast the last show before the ReliaQuest Bowl?
Yeah. There's been some bowl games that have went through.
Oh my God! You know what? It's been so long since we.
I feel like it's been 3 weeks since we've done a show.
I am not kidding. I forgot that we broadcast our last show before the Bama game.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have to get your. Before we do anything else, I mean, I would be totally remiss if I did not get your final feelings. Your bow on top of Alabama's football season, please. And Fred, again, it's just me and you. You can go for as long as you want.
No, I don't want to go as long as I want, but I do want to say, and I'm glad we brought this up because there were some there were a couple crazy bowl games. I think the tuna got me. I think we're going to find out that the tuna got me in the pick'ems. We have 3 more games left, but daggone it. He took Bama, and he talked me into taking Bama.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Oh, yeah. He talked me into taking Bama, and I said, do you not remember me saying, if Jalen Milroe runs the ball first play of the game, we're going to lose. And you know what happened? The first Bama play of the game, Jalen Milroe ran the ball, ran into somebody, fell down, and game over. And I'm not even talking about the fumbles that happened in the first 3 minutes. I mean,
I will. Dude,
hold on a minute. I'm trying to remain sane.
I want to tell all our listeners that.
What I did in the first quarter?
True to your typical way. I mean, and especially this season.
I will not say a curse word.
You have been very good at. Like, first drive of the game at telling us either Bama's going to win or Bama's going to lose.
Right.
And to your credit,
I told you again.
You texted, you said, alert, live bet Michigan right now.
Live bet Michigan. I saw it at the beginning, knew it was over. I knew they wanted it more. I mean, half the Bama nation out there in the first 8 minutes knew what was getting ready to happen. They knew the game plan was in Jalen Milroe's hands, and it was over. Put it that way. And you could tell it was it was over. So Tuna wanted me to mention the Reliance Bowl, whatever that is, and the Bama loss that he helped me take.
ReliaQuest
Bowl. And
get the sponsors right for it.
There
please.
You go. Yeah. And thank you, Tuna. That's going to be what we're talking about. I took a quarter to hang a sheet up at my house, and I'm not going to say it.
No,
I'm not
going to
say it.
We don't need to talk about that.
I'm just going to say that I put up.
You made your displeasure with Alabama's quarterback known to everyone
in
the neighborhood.
Yes, I did in the neighborhood.
That's all we need to say.
And I know that Bama Willie was pissed off as well. So other than that, that bowl game went down. Tuna ended up, we don't have to go through the bowl games, but Tuna did get me on the Buffalo Liberty game. Ouch. I got him on the Virginia Tech. Actually, he got me on LSU, and I took Baylor, and I got him on Minnesota, and he took Virginia Tech. So
and then he got you on
and
Buffalo.
And then he got me on Oregon, Ohio State. So Tuna is up 2 right now. He has made a comeback.
With this week we just have 2 college football games.
Right. So 2 games. So we can either be tied or he's up 4 and it's over. So,
baby. Now,
but I just wanted to make sure that we got into some of those bowl games.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And Minnesota, kudos to them. They won me my parlay. They kicked butt. I'm just trying to think back at some of them. Duke lost the Mayo. Was that the Mayo Bowl?
Well, they were playing Ole Miss.
Ole Miss just dusted them.
We all knew that was really no great
bowl games. Buffalo was an actual blowout, too.
Yep.
Well, let's get down to business then.
All right. So, tomorrow night, as we record this, clearly we are recording this on Wednesday evening. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Orange Bowl. Number 5 seed, Notre Dame. Number 4 seed, Penn State. Penn State as a 1-point underdog in this ball game with an over-under of 45. I would love to know your thoughts on this, Fred, because I have some thoughts after you're done.
Okay, cool. Well, you know that I have a nice bet on Notre Dame and have picked them to win the championship all year.
They're your team.
Right. I picked them at the beginning of the year. I picked them in the envelope.
Yep.
That I hadn't looked at, this, that, and the other. And, dude, I have been looking at this game and – it is a bad matchup for Notre Dame. These are two of the same type teams. And, dude, I think that Penn State just has more weapons offensively. And I never thought that I would ever say that. But
isn't that crazy?
But after watching the last three games, and Notre Dame has won.
Right.
Okay. But to see how slowly they're scoring – and I'm not – because I don't respect Georgia's defense that much, that they couldn't score on them. I know Georgia has a good defense, but they don't have a great defense this year. And for Notre Dame to be in that slugfest for a while that took 3 quarters to actually kind of push off and know that you had the win, and I know that Penn State played Boise State. Would Georgia beat Boise State? I don't know. They played way back when, Statue of Liberty, if you will.
That was Oklahoma.
Oh, dang it. I knew they – but they did play Georgia in a crazy game one time, I think, and upset them. But I was taking a total guess there. But I'm telling you that I think Penn State has more firepower, not on defense. I think their defenses are dead even. I really respect Notre Dame's defense. They tackle well. So does Penn State. So did Alabama for 9 years. That's how you win. And I'm telling you that I think Penn State has more offensive. The tight end, All-American. I feel like their depth might be a little more towards the end. And the way the Big Ten's playing, something tells me this is a Big Ten year. I mean, it has been. Look what Illinois did. That's a bowl game we forgot about. Bam. They came in and whooped South Carolina. What do you think about that? Remember the SEC's hottest team besides Ole Miss that didn't get in? And Illinois comes in there and whoops them. That says something right there. That you can add that to your IU mayonnaise there or on the sandwich, the spread. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I just think that Penn State and you know I'm old Notre Dame. I just see this match and I'm like, no, I don't know. And to know that Notre Dame's getting points, I'm taking them. Now, I was wrong against Oregon, but that's just the way I see it. Am I pulling for Notre Dame? Yes. And then, so
to be clear,
go.
You said, I know Notre Dame's getting points. You're taking Penn State.
I'm betting Penn State.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, I think Penn State's going to win.
I just wanted to be clear on that.
Unfortunately.
Friday night, 7:30. What a lot of people, and I know Tuna has said, we just mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Ohio State, 12-2. Texas, 13-2. The over-under is 53. Texas is a 5.5-point underdog in that game. Fred, again, what do you think happens in this ball game? Well, I'll give my rebuttals to both games.
But to
after
both,
you're done,
yeah,
with
I want this. I want to hear them for sure. This should be cut and dry. Ohio State's on fire. Jeremiah Smith is a beast. You go on, you're like, can they do it three games in a row? Is Tuna right? Are they the best team? Did they buy the best team? Are they the best team? Which you can now buy the best team. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Of course.
And you can also be the best team. And, the matchups and everything, because I like to match them up. I try to see like a matchup. But Texas has a Barron is a All-American. He's the Thorpe winner, I think. Cover corner. Is he going to be on Jeremiah Smith? He better be. Now you've got the other guys. You've got the running backs. Texas has been on their heels. Are they going to put Arch Manning in? If worst came to worst, I don't know, because I feel like the loyalty that Sark is showing to his guy is is awesome. It really is, and it's showing. Some of those passes in the last game were unbelievable. I'm a field guy, betting on feel and what I think and try to put everything together. As far as this game is, I mean, you just had with, I don't even know if Isaiah Bond's playing. It seemed like that Texas, their wide receivers could not necessarily get open easily until like maybe a couple plays in the fourth quarter against Arizona State. What are they going to do against Caleb Downs and Ohio State? I just think even if Ohio State does not play well, they're going to win this game. And really, that's an easy way out. Yeah, well, then you're picking Ohio State. Bum. Okay, I am. But I don't think they're going to play that great this time. Three times in a row. If they do it three times in a row, then they're going to lose the national championship. I'll tell you that. Because you can't. I've never seen anyone do it four times in a row. Has anyone seen it done three? We haven't, because the CFP's been two games. There's a break after the SEC or conference championship. So to see a team do it three times in a row, 3 weeks in a row, will be the first time unprecedented that somebody has won a champion, have beaten three playoff teams in college.
Right.
Okay. So.
Right.
If they, and then you're going to tell me they're going to do it four times? Am I right about that? My numbers are right, right?
I believe
so. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dude, like, that's insane. So at some point, you have to look at the numbers and bet against that team at some point, depending upon who they play, maybe in the final, like a Georgetown Hoya, or like a Georgetown Villanova type thing.
Right.
as far as basketball. But I want to hear what you have to say. I think I'm taking Ohio. I think it's going to be a rematch of Ohio State and Penn State. The score of that game was 20-13. It was a good game. Was kind of a yarn.
You don't have to pick that game yet. Because
I'm saying that's what I have as far as those two teams went. Now I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, I'm really going to break this down. I'm going to get into it, into the minutia of both teams and both games. Actually, I'm not going to do that at all.
What?
What I'm going to say is that the national championship game is going to be between the only two teams that beat Indiana this year, and it's going to be Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Oh, baby.
And that's what it's going to be, and Indiana will then be de facto on the podium with a bronze medal around their neck.
Oh, wow. And you don't care who wins, you will call that later on down the line.
Oh, yeah, I don't
mind. Well, dude, I love that. No, okay.
I actually do care. If that happens, there will be a clear, and I think people that know me will know which way I would be leaning with Ohio State playing anybody.
I got you. I know, but you're looking at how the teams are playing. I see what you're saying.
No, but I mean,
and what do you think about Notre Dame? How do you think they're going to get them?
I really do believe that Notre Dame's defense is playing at a level
that
have not been at in probably more than a decade.
Right.
I think their quarterback is he's almost like playing perfect college football.
Right.
Like, he doesn't have to be Joe Montana. He doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. He just has to, you know, extend plays with his legs and make, you know, when it's third and
five.
He just
has to be Country Matt Kemp.
Well, of course.
That's it. Tuna.
But, you know, and I quite frankly, I have gotten burned for like 5 weeks in a row saying that I don't believe in Penn State. Well, guess what? I finally believe in Penn State, but I still think they're going to get beat.
Okay.
But it won't be I'm expecting it to be a fantastic ball game and to come down.
I think it will be.
To the last
possession,
maybe
game
in the fourth quarter. And quickly, and that's a shout out. I know that we give James Franklin a bunch of grief. But longtime listeners of this show and people that know me know how much I've appreciated James Franklin because of what he did at Vandy. Of course, their defensive coordinator is Tom Allen, who was the head coach at Indiana and had a couple really fun, cool years with IU.
Right.
So I'm happy for him, but, I think that ride ends tomorrow night.
Right. Okay.
Personally,
I think Ohio State Notre Dame would be a really way more glamour matchup.
Well, I mean, of course it would.
It is what it is.
Two of the biggest brands. I know Texas.
Oh, they want Texas. Don't think the SEC and Texas ain't going to try. They're going to get some calls.
And I know Texas from a size standpoint, a money standpoint.
Right.
But I'm just talking about if you were to ask just two random people on the street, who are the two most famous college football teams in the world? There's a good chance they would say Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Well, I'm going to punch them in the mouth if they do.
Well, I mean,
I'm with you.
You might have one or two say Alabama.
I'm kidding. But I agree, dude. You're right. Like, they are prestigious. Like, they
of
have
the teams that are left in the tournament.
Yes.
Those are the two, I think, that probably move the needle.
Oh, for sure.
For the casual fan.
For sure.
The most. Because most people, you know, a lot of people don't even remember Texas the last time that they won a championship, which was close to 20 years ago,
right.
Vince Young.
And one of the greatest championship games that I've ever seen.
Yep. I was actually
USC Trojans.
There was a highlight on. This is kind of funny. There was a highlight on yesterday. They were showing that game.
Right.
And I told Emma Lou, I said, Clayton's dad and I watched that game together. And I, oh, that was like the first game I really remember you and I sitting down together and watching. And you know, yeah. So the thing about it is, what's actually really cool is that the games, the college games are Thursday night and Friday
and
night.
That, I don't think a lot of people, does all of America know that?
Well, you know,
like Thursday, what? Well, when did they spring that on me?
I know. And especially around here with the fact that everybody's been snowed in for a week, yeah. Like tomorrow night might be wild.
It could be wild. Like everyone's like, finally something that means.
Yeah,
something.
Like let's get out of the house, go get something to eat, go have some beers.
Right.
But man, I cannot wait. This is to me probably the best football weekend from a standpoint of
NFL playoffs,
the NFL playoffs. The college football playoffs, so we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's
going to
be
college basketball
great.
In the middle of it.
Yeah, college basketball, and I promise that we will be getting into college basketball. There has been some movement with all three of our local teams. I would like to talk about Indiana at some point. But that's like 32nd on my list of things that I find important in sports right now, right behind Power Slap. That Tuna tells me they're getting ready to have another pay per view or something here in a few days. So
yeah, that's what worries me about him. Could he be like swelled up somewhere with ice on his jaw, like
hey,
right now?
I will
going,
tell you this.
I couldn't make it tonight, and maybe he's trying to get in the slap off.
I will tell
maybe,
you this.
Maybe the poet laureate is too.
If there was going to be one person that's affiliated with our podcast that wouldn't die from getting hit one time in the Power Slap, it's
right.
Probably Tuna.
No, for sure. I've seen him go down in an alley on a mountain bike with a Cubs batting helmet on. And he will laugh at that, but I have seen it happen. And I think he was out for a minute, but when he came to, it was on. It was on.
With all that being said, first of all, I want to thank all of our listeners. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. It's the only way our show can grow.
And also, when you get on like
social media,
when you get on social media and you jump on like on our website, like be a member.
Yes. Yes. Please.
Coming from Fred, dude. Like, be a member, man. Sit us in. You know, lock us in.
Lock us in. Love it. Do want to thank, of course, each and every one of you that are listening. Check us out on social media. On Twitter, we are at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, we are at Blockout Sports Pod. Just type that into your search bar. Now, there's only two of us here tonight. It's pretty pretty light crowd here in the downstairs pub.
Co-MVPs.
That does not mean that as the bartender, I am not going to do my nightly duty and call last call, Freddie, it's all you.
Last call, I do want to, well, let's start with this. I want to get Travis's opinion on the new golf league.
I got to be honest with you. I had heard about this maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever. I had no idea that it was actually happening.
Right. I don't think the players did either.
And I know Mr. Electricity, I think it was.
Tuna was all over it.
Was it Tuna that,
yeah,
that sent the text out? And quite frankly, I did not watch it. I was watching college basketball last night.
I don't think the players watched it either.
I didn't look at it. I don't even really know what it is. It's like
I don't think the players know either.
Okay.
I think we're finding out that from what I've heard from a couple people and Tuna, and I've seen, I'm not quite sure anyone knows what to make of it. So I figured we would wait till next week, and we'll all try to come together.
So apparently, what I missed last night was not like missing Sunday at the 86 Masters.
No, you did not miss Jack. No, you did not miss Jack in the yellow shirt. Also, kudos to our buddy, one of our best listeners, Josh, and his wife Haley and little Axel there in Costa Rica. And I wanted to give them a shout out on their great bowl win versus the Baylor Bears. I also want to give Johnny Firestick, yes, our boy Johnny, credit on that win.
We call him Johnny Fever.
Johnny Fever has been at both universities in athletics there, football. But
he was on the winning side.
He was on the winning side. And we want to give him a shout out and Josh and Haley on that LSU win on a game that, I don't know, it could have went both ways. I must say, I told Josh I bet against him, but kudos on that. That is it for me, man. Besides, my little boy Clayton got in the Shredder's Club today, sledding on a major hill, busted his nose open, and also took a leak at the bottom of the hill, had to go. And once that all happens, you are in the Shredder's Club.
Love it.
Yes, Shredder's Club.
I wanted to say before we sign off tonight that the last couple of weeks we have been a little bit pressed for time at the end of the show, and I always want to make sure that my nephew Colin, for those of you that listen to the show fairly regularly, will know who Colin is. I have not gotten his picks in.
A leader of men.
The last couple of weeks. By the way, Colin is going to turn 21 years of age.
Woo, baby.
Actually a week from, today's Wednesday, right? A week from tomorrow, he will turn 21. And a week from Friday, those of us in the sphere of the Blockout Sports Pod will be going to Derby City Gaming to celebrate Mr. Collins' 21st birthday. I know that we are all very excited about that, and I know that the podcast will be all there for sure, and that should be a great time. Colin,
lots of gambling.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Colin is taking Notre Dame with the -1, Ohio State -5.5, and he's taking the Eagles in the playoff game.
Okay.
I really don't have any.
I've got mine
picks to make, except for the fact that I've already told you who I think are going to win the college football playoff games.
Yeah,
Freddie, give me your picks.
I'm with you on those. I'm going to go with, obviously, I'm going Penn State, Ohio State on that, whether it be money line or whatever. I do like the over on the Penn State Notre Dame game.
The over, you
the
say?
The over. Whoa. I do like the over in that game. And that's how I think Penn State's going to beat them, with offense. I'm talking like the 32-21, maybe.
I like it.
Something like that.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going with Ohio State. I don't know how that game. That could get ugly, or I just don't see any way that Texas has enough weapons to make that happen. And then I'm going to go Lamar all the way, Ravens. I love them putting points on the board over the Steelers.
I do
Those
too.
Are my three right there that
love
I
it.
Will be betting.
And
Lamar rushing. Lamar rushing.
We surely hope that Tuna and Mr. Electricity are back here with us next week. We very much appreciate each and every one of you listening. Right before we sign off, without a chance for Freddie to retort, I would like to report that my fantasy NBA basketball team had a huge win against Fred's this past week.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy Butler.
My Pacers beat his Bulls tonight as we are recording this. So I kind of feel like I am on cloud nine.
I can't wait to get in the NBA. I just can't
I know. And I promise that is coming up very soon. We appreciate everybody that listens. I know tonight was kind of a different type of show.
Hope y'all like us, not just Tuna. Everybody likes the Tuna.
Well,
we're tired of, let me tell you something, Bama Willie's tired of the Tuna. We're tired of the Tuna.
And I know that Big Bill probably will have to break the news to his mom that Tuna is not on the show this week.
Oh, man.
So I hope that we made that clear early in the program.
She might be like, I kind of like that Freddy guy.
I'm not sure I want to go that far. But we do appreciate everybody for listening. This outro is going to be super easy for me tonight. For the fabulous one, Freddy Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.